The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN, your home for K-State athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
Wow, okay, so the Royals are pretty good.
My.
I mean, when I say pretty good, I mean, yes, they've been pretty good to start this season. Their record is now 9-4. Now, they've won 7 in a row, which, believe it or not, last year's team, which was just a dumpster fire, did at one point have a 7-game winning streak. So even crappy teams can win 7 in a row once in a while. It is baseball. It happens. The Royals, though, you can argue, I mean, the Orioles series, the Royals should have won it. But now they've responded by winning 7 in a row in a perfect homestand. So, yes, maybe the 7-game winning streak isn't a special thing historically. But, Troy, you had an interesting nugget with it being a homestand sweep.
Well, that was Jake Eisenberg mentioned it a couple of times, and of course it stands out because I was still in high school the last time that they did this.
I wasn't even born.
1988 was the last time that the Royals wrapped out a 7-game sweep of a homestand.
Wow.
So 36 years ago.
Yeah, if you want to put it that way. Thank you. Yeah.
I was like, let's see, I'm 33. I turned 34 this year.
Yeah, I know. I mean, come on. Yeah, my Facebook event invites have started to show up for a 35th high school reunion this year. So, yeah.
Welcome to the game. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, Owen Burke. Owen wearing a Baltimore Ravens jersey shirt.
Another power move with the jersey shirt today.
Are those still in?
I don't know.
Jersey shirts?
I don't know if they're in. I just, you know, it's either this or like wearing a regular Raven shirt. And I'm like, oh, you know, throw the number on there.
When I lived in NYC, I would imagine it's still there. New York City, by around somewhere in Times Square, has an MLB store.
Mm.
And you can just go in there and they have merch like crazy. And you'll see a whole wall. I mean, skyscraper of a wall that's just all jerseys. But they also had a wall just as big with jersey shirts. So I think there was a hot run there for a while of jersey shirts. I remember buying a Jose Reyes jersey shirt because I was going to a lot of Mets games. I was like, I might as well fit the part.
Yeah, throw something
on. But ever since then, I've made it very clear, my Royals fandom, I'm a diehard and I never miss a game. And even when they're terrible, I'm right there beside them.
Bandwagon.
7-game streak and we're here. Let's go.
13-3 today and 11-2 yesterday. So the Royals, you do the math, they've outscored the Astros the last two games. So two games in the last 24 hours, outscored them 24-5. Is this the karma finally hitting the Astros? That they're just getting clobbered at home by the Kansas City Royals?
I think that that's maybe
Kaufman, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's maybe a little of it. I think more than anything, first-year manager trying to learn his way.
Yeah. I think we're getting there. Like, if there's karma to be paid still, it's going to take probably another two or three times getting swept by a bad team at home for me to feel a little bit better about it. I need the White Sox to go into Houston and take care of business.
I mean, the Astros are 4-10.
Yeah. The Royals are the third best in the AL right now.
That's got to be the Astros' worst start in a long time.
Definitely in my memory. Granted, it doesn't go far that back, but.
Just looking.
I saw the research department working over
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah.
It's going.
I'm just double-checking on some things here because, they had a losing record in the COVID year, 29-31.
COVID year doesn't count.
Four 100-win years from 2017 through 2022, and they won 90 last year.
Yeah.
Definitely the worst start they've had.
What a run.
Yeah. I don't know if it's over. I think they're too talented for them to just roll over at this point, but they definitely got a lot of things to figure out as of right now.
Yeah, their starting pitching is garbage for the moment, which, again, part of that is they're down a starter. Let's just, you know, be upfront about that, because at this point they don't have Verlander ready to go. I mean, you're working with a pitching rotation right now of Christian Javier, who's solid, Ronel Blanco.
Who's the jabroni that went today?
That was Hunter Brown.
Yeah, he recorded two outs. That was a very big, if you didn't hear, the Royals scored nine in the first inning.
Yeah, Spencer Arrighetti. Man, did I call that last night.
Yeah, you called the rookie. You did.
Got blasted last night, and then Hunter Brown today, getting one out in giving up 11 hits.
Yeah, I like Hunter Brown a lot. It was a bad day at the ballpark today for him. I like his stuff in general, but I think the Royals had the right mindset, and I think you hit it on the nail yesterday, and I think they just carried it to today. Was there's a young pitcher on the other side, and his offense has not given him much run support.
Mm-hmm.
If we go out and get this guy, we're probably cruising to a pretty sizable win, and they've done that the last 2 days now.
Royals took care of business enough against Christian Javier the other night. They didn't run into Blanco, who has gotten off to the solid start. You know, it just played out well that they hit the points of the rotation where they can make some things happen here over these last couple of games specifically.
And their starting pitching is held up. I think that's the other thing.
Even Brady Singer today wasn't as sharp as you would like him. But by the time that he started to, you know, settle in, they were already up by
nine runs. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to do a lot for a guy like Brady Singer, just because he can go back out and gain a little confidence that he's got some wiggle room.
Yeah, he doesn't have to go out and be perfect
exactly
on a day like today, and that's beautiful.
And Will Smith didn't have to pitch the whole series.
Thank you!
Against the Astros. I'll never forget, I was in the house for his Major League debut at Yankee Stadium, and he got just crushed by the Yankees offense. A-Rod hit two home runs, back-to-back at-bats.
Yeah.
I think Jeter had one. So it was a good day. I mean, the Yankees, I got to see, you know, two of the best ever. And
it's part of what it makes it so amazing that he's fashioned the career he has, because in a Royals uniform, he's been garbage.
He's lasted a long time. I mean, that was 12 years ago?
Yes.
So he's old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about time to have it. He needs to hang it up, sounds like. He's been out there. How old is he? I need to go look this up. He's 34.
Yeah.
35. I was going to guess 33.
So you got it before I could mention it, because...
Well, I got the fast trigger over here. So he debuted. He was 21, 22 years old. 21. Here it is right here. 21 years old when he debuted.
One of their top prospects at that point.
He was not looking too good that first night. I mean, if you're debuting at Yankee Stadium... You're ready to throw up.
You want to talk about getting fed to the wolves, in my opinion.
And let's bear in mind, he was also debuting as a starting pitcher, not as a reliever.
Or did he start on the mound?
Yeah, he started.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, just toss him out there. It's Jeter and...
Yeah, his career turned in a big way when they made him a reliever full-time, rather than trying to utilize him as a starter.
There you go.
Bobby Witt Jr., who did not have a hit yesterday, goes 4-for-5 today with a pair of home runs.
Vinny Pasquantino had the big night last night, which was good to see, because he's been on a slide to get started this year. And goes 4-for-5 last night and hit everything save for the triple on the cycle.
See, 11 runs on 11 hits. Yesterday, Royals today, 13 runs on 16 hits. I mean, the Royals also given up a decent amount of hits, but, I mean, the Astros did strain a ton
this week. Yeah, they're not leading to runs at all. That was the thing for Singer early, was they had guys got on, but he's getting himself out of the jam.
13. They left 13 on.
Yeah.
Today.
I lost track of five.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of early.
Yeah, because the base is loaded in the first and two on in the second. Yeah.
Two big innings, by the way. 9 runs today in the first. Yesterday was 7 in the third.
By the way, Tiger Woods even on the day at the Masters.
Shout to Tiger. Basically golfing on one foot.
Let's go.
This is like his 35th Masters.
Golfing on one foot and a nearly fused to metal spine.
I was playing the Masters video game. It's like PGA Golf, EA Sports, PGA Golf, whatever it's called.
Been so long since I've thrown that one into the system.
It's a beautiful game because I played at Augusta Nationals, and I have a custom character, custom golfer that I made. You know, Jim Brony is his name. And
fantastic. That's fantastic.
And I finished in like 30th. Made the cut, got some gamer score out of it.
There you go. That's a fantastic name.
It's kind of like the graphic on the where the guy is on the Olympic medal stand, you know, having gotten fifth or whatever and celebrating while everybody else is all serious up the line. Yeah.
Jim Brony, I used to have a friend that lived in Topeka. And during the summer, I would go up every weekend because he had a pool. We would day drink, we'd go have a good time, and then we would go out at night. Like, this is back when I could, you know, I could hang for a while. Because this is right after I came back from New York, so we're talking early to mid-20s, and I just started here. And when we'd go out, for a while, we liked to make up stories. If we were to go meet people, we'd make up stories. And I was always Jim Brony.
Is he a wrestling fan too, by chance? Your buddy?
Big wrestling fan.
Yeah, I think that's a wrestling fan thing.
Also a doctor.
Oh, there you go. Hey, how about that? It's a house of learned doctors, Troy.
Sometimes a lawyer, sometimes a voice actor.
He's what is the movie out right now with John Cena?
Oh, Ricky Stenicki?
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Basically, Jim Brony was the previous era's Ricky Stenicki.
Jim, J-I-M, obviously. Brony, B-R-O-N-I.
Yep, as you should spell it. I think that's a lot of wrestlers... Wrestling fans do that. Like, anytime I make a created character on a video game, whether it's the show or 2K, there's a backstory here, all right? I've got a story to tell.
Let's take a timeout. Hour two, we're going to go over some official visits that's going to take place for men's basketball. The dead period is over. Here come the visits, and here comes a lot of recruiting happening fast for Jerome Tang and company. We are going to speak with K-State baseball coach Pete Hughes in hour two as well. But when we come back, speaking of basketball, there's a lot of SEC egos. A little hurt right now. That's coming up next. We walk alone in the unknown. Wow. Turn it back up. I used to jam to this, man, because this is Nexus from WWE. Man, that was a good time.
Such a great song, too.
It's a good song, yeah. The developmental talent in that first season of NXT all band together and just completely
just
demolished the place in their debut. And people are getting choked out, and the ringside is just getting destroyed, torn up. Like, just the ring was pulled apart. It was a great debut, great debut. And they were rivals with John Cena because Wade Barrett was the lead. Man, I hadn't heard this song in years.
Good times right there. I don't remember what just came across me today, and I was like, oh, that's a great song. I was like, I'll play that one today. You missed out. I played the wrestling bet after you left yesterday.
Which one did you play?
Aleister Black yesterday. His NXT theme. Very, very classic as well, in my opinion.
Well, we're back on the game. Mitch Fortner, Troy Coverdale, and Owen Burke. Phone lines are open, 785-537-1350. If you have anything to say, you want to chime in on anything we're talking about. Hour two will feature K-State baseball coach Pete Hughes coming off a nice win, a comeback win over Wichita State last night, 6-3, scoring four runs in the eighth. We'll talk a little men's basketball, K-State specifically. To lead off in hour number two coming up at 5:10. Dalton Risner, former K-State offensive lineman, former Denver Bronco and now Minnesota Viking, will be joining us next week. So looking forward to that conversation with Dalton. Let's revisit a topic yesterday, and I believe you guys may have talked about it a little bit in hour number two yesterday, but also talked about it with Mason. And that is, the Kentucky job is still open. Scott Drew was the top candidate. His family even went to Lexington to check out the town a little bit. And then we learned today, Scott Drew, with a number of social media postings and a little bit of some conflicting reports coming out of Lexington, but Scott Drew, the head coach of Baylor, is going to stay in Waco. He is not heading to Lexington, and to me, that is hilarious. Kentucky's now missed on their top two guys, maybe top three.
And on top of that, they're left trying to explain away what occurred yesterday and today.
Well, the funny part about it is the conflicting reports is like, yes, he was offered. No, he was never offered. No, he was offered, and it was going to be a huge boatload of money.
Yeah.
And he didn't take it.
Yeah. But to hear Kentucky tell it, oh, no, he wasn't an offer. It was just a conversation to gauge his interest and that no offer was fully extended.
Yeah, because who could turn down an offer from Kentucky? One of the top blue bloods, one of the winningest programs in college basketball history. In a conference that has won just one national championship in the last 16 years. Who could turn down a job to go play to go coach in the SEC? Scott Drew, and then, of course, before that, Dan Hurley, who somebody mentioned in an article earlier today that if you offered him $20 million, he still wouldn't have taken the job.
Yeah.
Dan Hurley is in a good spot. He has just won two back-to-back national championships at UConn, who, in my opinion, is the juggernaut of the 21st century.
Not only that, but that's a program that he had an affinity for, and he's able to parlay the ties from living in Jersey and growing up in Jersey and his dad's coaching ability and recruiting there. You know, the Hurley name has some extra cachet in that region, and that helps him an awful lot at UConn, and it wouldn't pan out that way at Kentucky.
Yeah, and we're talking about back-to-back national championships.
Also true, yeah.
Some of the most dominant tournament runs we've seen. I mean, these guys have won all games in the last 2 years in the tournament by 13 points or more. Like, they're not squeaking out games. This is a dominant run at the top of the mountain. Why, regardless of the job offer, why would you ever leave UConn? I think that is the picture-perfect representation of what Kentucky fans think of themselves, that you can just lure that guy out of the spot that he's just reached the top of the mountain 2 years in a row.
On Dan Hurley's side of things, at UConn, yes, he's won the back-to-back national championships. He has everything he needs to win national championships. Mm-hmm. It's quite clear, obviously. And that'll continue to happen. Meanwhile, with all he has, he's still working with less pressure than what he would have day one at Kentucky. And don't get me wrong. I mean, Kentucky, I'm sure, of course, blue blood program would be a great job to a certain extent. I've always thought that the more success you have, the crazier your fans get.
Yep.
Alabama is a great example. Every time Nick Saban would lose one game.
Oh, yeah.
Man, maybe we start thinking about getting a new coach in here. Bill Self, last year, lost three games in a row. One of them was getting demolished by TCU. And then the next game, I think it was a Saturday, Monday, so ended up then playing at Baylor.
Yes.
And lost. The first game of that losing streak was to K-State. Lawrence was on fire after those three losses.
Insanity that there's any three-game stretch that can cause it. And I think you're right. You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, to me, like the Nick Saban thing, when he left, you really, if you get offered the job and you have to follow the goat, you really start thinking like, man, do I really want the pressure? The money's great. But you have so many people that either giving money or, you know, from their fandom to supporting Alabama with NIL and expecting the highest of results. It's really hard to live up to high standards. But the thing, Scott Drew has won a national championship at Baylor. He has a legacy there. That is, for him, a much better job than Kentucky could ever give him. Much better job to just stay in Waco. And he's still, I think he's the seventh highest paid coach in college basketball. Mm-hmm. He's still making bank, making really good money. Now, however, knowing me, if we're just talking about these two towns, I would much rather live in Lexington, Kentucky. I've been to Waco many times. I've never been to Lexington. But I know Lexington has horse racing. It has a lot of live music, a lot of bourbon, a lot of good times. Waco has a Dr. Pepper museum.
Magnolia. The silos. Got to see the silos.
They have a Texas Ranger museum. And I'm like, okay, you have a museum for Texas Rangers, but the most famous Texas Ranger is fictional. I don't know how interesting this gets.
They not have a double or a triple A team down there at all?
No.
I don't think so in Waco.
No. No.
Unfortunate. But so I asked Troy this yesterday, and I'm curious. Now, obviously, it's not as good of a question anymore since he's staying at Baylor. Would your panic meter have spiked a little bit on the Jerome Tang side of things had Drew went to Kentucky?
No. Okay. Not for me. The thing is, so everybody's like, well, you know, he was at Baylor for such a long time. Well, Grant McCaslin, I think, would be the first guy they get a hold of. Grant McCaslin is a successful head coach. He was there for a long time as well with Jerome Tang and with Scott Drew. He's also a Baylor grad.
Okay.
I think that really pays off in his favor to be the first candidate for the job. And I would imagine he would easily leave Lubbock for Waco.
Fair enough.
I'm not 100% about that. Lubbock has dealt with it before.
Yeah.
I think Texas Tech could use another heated rivalry with somebody when that team comes to town.
True.
It becomes the most hostile environment in America. They could use that with Texas leaving. Chris Beard is obviously, he's been out of the conference, well, year and a half, I guess, because he's now in the SEC. But I think Grant McCaslin would be first. Maybe slightly because I think Jerome Tang would be on the list. But, you know, Jerome Tang waited a long time for his shot. He waited for the right opportunity. I wouldn't be in panic mode at that point.
I'm glad to hear that. We were definitely thinking about it, and I was like, you know, if he thought about Arkansas and you're like 18 years, Baylor comes calling, I'm like, that's something. But as long as they fill the job first, then I'm okay with the two. You know, I'd like to keep Tang around myself.
I tell you what, though, the John Calipari, he had the introductory press conference, and I've seen some videos from it earlier today. They wrapped it up with the whole
whooping.
Hey, so it's like, God, it's so weird. Coach Cal had heard that for years as an opponent, as a rival. He was thrown out of a game at Arkansas once upon a time. I don't think that was actually that long ago. This past year or whatever it was. Brought up an argument on social media, and I kind of threw a poll up there at Mitch the Ford on Twitter. Which is weirder, A&M midnight yell stuff or Arkansas calling the Hogs? I think they're both super awkward and weird. I give the midnight yell stuff the edge, but not far behind, in my opinion, is the Arkansas calling the Hogs. It's as hillbilly as college athletics get, in my opinion. At least Power Five.
It is one of the most awkward things I think I've ever seen Dana Altman do.
I've never seen that.
You've not seen that footage?
No.
When he took the job for all of one day from Creighton, and they introduce him at Arkansas, and they do whoopig suey, and he's back at Creighton the next day?
it's fantastic.
I've been seeing it a lot on social media lately because obviously it has to do with Coach Cal. They were doing it in a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was there talking with somebody. And it's a restaurant. The place is packed. They knew Coach Cal was in town. And the whole restaurant was doing, pig, silly, woo. Jesus. I am so glad that I am not an Arkansas fan.
Cal just calls Kentucky back up. So I know you guys are struggling. I'm kind of rethinking this decision.
Hey, what was our cheer again?
Yeah, right.
I mean, honestly, think about that for a moment. How embarrassing, first of all, how embarrassing it was and how awkward Dana Altman felt in that moment. And it is palpable in the video. I realize you've not seen it. I remember it distinctly. And then to turn around and they lose him the next day right back to his old job at Creighton.
That's something else.
The Arkansas Razorbacks of Nolan Richardson and Eddie Sutton and all of the tradition. And, yeah, I'm going to stay at Creighton.
Creighton. Creighton of all places.
After putting you through the PR.
Have you ever been to a game at Texas A&M?
No.
I have not.
I went to a basketball game down there one time, and of course I've seen all the Midnight Yell stuff.
Sure.
Plus A&M has come here many times, sure. And they bring their folks, and they're doing the – they are the most unique and the most goofiest I've seen in college athletics.
Really?
Of – you got the guys in overalls, straight off the farm, handkerchief in the back pocket – and they're throwing their hands all over the place. Oh, 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 oh. They do the little, it's hard to explain what it is when you can't see me. Because I can act it all out. I can mime it for you so well. I've seen it so many times.
I'm enjoying the show.
And then they spend half of Midnight Yell just trashing the other school. But it's also like elementary style stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's in no way really that edgy.
Right.
And it's in no way somebody else would just throw this out there and expect to get over and get cheers. It wouldn't work anywhere else.
No, not at all.
I mean, yeah, there's all kinds of jokes about Texas and politics that you could throw in there about Texas A&M, so yeah.
So, I guess, and Troy, I'll ask you if you've seen the same thing. Moving on then with Kentucky, they're not getting Scott Drew. Their feelings are hurt. They feel embarrassed as Kentucky fans.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas ends up with Coach Cal, who, with Kentucky standards, is washed up. I'm sure he can go win a few games in Fayetteville. Although, I mean, Arkansas is with Eric Musselman, had been to Sweet 16s and in Elite Eights the last, well, not this past year, but the previous 3 years. Mm-hmm. Just kind of had a rough year this year, allowed him to leave and go to USC.
Not like spending $4 million of NIL money. But
so basically, I think.
And not like, getting past round two.
Yeah, and Kentucky now is going to basically wait a week.
Oh, and really?
See if Billy Donovan. I guess that's the story.
The word that I'm seeing, and this goes back to a former Kentucky player aspect of this, and that is Mark Pope, BYU's head coach.
Mark Pope? Is up for the job?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know if Kentucky fans are going to like that.
No.
Former player for them?
Oh, he went to Kentucky?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was Mormon.
No.
Oh, I didn't know that about Mark Pope.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Billy Donovan be the guy, because Chicago has needed to blow it up for a while as far as their NBA team is concerned. So, new coach in... Flip over the roster. Billy Donovan's available. It's not a bad thing, but I don't know if Donovan takes, you know, well, I guess it's not really a demotion. It is one of the best college basketball programs in the nation, but still, he's done pretty well as an NBA coach in his time.
Oh, you're right. I didn't know Mark Pope went to Kentucky. That was, you know, before.
You were born,
I was alive, but I was three. I knew he was from Omaha.
I can't do it.
Well, he started at Washington and then transferred to Kentucky, ended up being a draft pick.
Right.
Okay.
Who'd he get drafted by, Troy? Testing it.
Why is Charlotte sticking in my mind? But it's off base.
Not quite. Indiana.
Indiana?
Indiana Pacers.
Small market team.
All right, so then if you're Kentucky's AD, who are you hiring? Billy Donovan? Who's with the Bulls?
The Bulls right now,
and then you have Mark Pope, BYU.
Rick Pitino.
Yeah, we joked about that being the ultimate. Just bring back Rick Pitino. I honestly think that you look at Mark Pope, has had BYU in the tournament. Prior to that, had taken over Utah Valley and had them playing very well.
But I think if it was Mark Pope at Kentucky, the only excitement around it would be that he is actually a Kentucky alum. I mean, at BYU, he is a 67% winning percentage. He has been to two tournaments, but it's been round of 64. Round of 64 and out. It's not, I don't think it's the quality of hire that Kentucky fans would expect.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a little bit awkward, but if I was a Kentucky fan, I'm expecting bigger. But they've already been shut down by two guys already that they really wanted.
Right.
Seeing a change of the times, are we, with these blue bloods getting turned down?
I think so. And I think it's because we've had so many long tenured coaches that have set such a high expectation at Alabama. When Self goes to leave KU, Cal, Coach K, it's happened so many times now at all of those dynamite schools that, like you said earlier, just trying to follow that is a hassle in of itself, let alone the monster that Kentucky basketball has become with the donors and everything. I mean, if they're forcing Coach Cal out after, what, are they exiting the round of 32 this year? Or was it the Sweet 16? I don't remember. But
first round. They were upset.
Oh, was it the first round?
Yeah, they lost.
They get bounced, and again, I don't know. I don't know if people are going to want to follow it. It's a very difficult job to pull off.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, the Big 12 making an announcement today how they are forming a collegiate officiating consortium. What do those words mean? Well, they're good words to help out the officiating. We'll explain next. All right, breaking news out of the Big 12 today. The Big Sky, Big West, Western Athletic, and the West Coast Conferences will be joining the Big 12 in Missouri Valley Men's Basketball Officiating Consortium. Troy, what does this mean?
This means that the Western group of schools that you mentioned that are coming into the Midwest consortium, whichever way you want to say it. You take Google, I'll take Webster's Dictionary. Thank you very much. The move there comes from the fact that the Pac-12 essentially is a done thing.
Coverdale.
Yeah, right, exactly. Because the Pac-12 was the lead entity in the Western group of officiating, the Western Consortium that had been around since just before 2016. Big Sky joined it in 16, and it really, really helped them, as well as the West Coast Conference and the WAC, improve the level of officiating that they had, because you could, for a conference game on a Thursday night, for example, with the proximity of Denver to Greeley, as just a point to bring up, you could get a group of officials that were high caliber guys that you would have doing games in the Pac-12. Well, they would have the game in Greeley Thursday night and turn around and have CU game on Sunday or Saturday, depending on how the schedule played out.
So not the craziest travel.
No, not the craziest travel at all. And it made for easier assignments, and it made for a better level of officiating all the way through, instead of trying to have just your specific group of officials that you had. Now, we've seen it again here in the Midwest with the Big 12 and Missouri Valley Conference is doing that. This, as much as anything, comes down to just straight out a merger between the consortiums, because the Pac-12 is out of the mix now.
Here's a description the Big 12 gave in its announcement. These additions will create a deep officiating pool of the top basketball officials in the country. Additionally, the COC-MBB will create a robust and diverse pipeline for the development of officials through extensive training and education. It also introduced travel efficiencies for officials, affording them the opportunity to work multiple games in the same region. So I go back to the education word.
Yes.
We're going to figure out the old block charge.
Good luck with that.
By the way, the person in charge, John Higgins.
Yes.
Will be in charge of this group. All right, hour two of the game. We're taking you guys till 6 o'clock. Full hour two up next. Strom Tang and K-State men's basketball loading up on some visits. We'll give you the latest on that to kick off the hour. Also in hour number two at 5:25, we're going to speak with K-State baseball coach Pete Hughes, who's about to take on the former coach or the former team he used to coach in Oklahoma. Big series in Norman this weekend. Hour two in your local news is next.